So a limud of Chofetz Chaim is the zchus refuah of Yosef Tov ben Chayla B'soich Shal Chayla Yisrael. So we learned last week that besides speaking Loshnar being about somebody else's ben odom lamokai, it's also about somebody else's ben odom lachaveroi. If he doesn't behave well towards someone else, if he doesn't lend him money, if he takes revenge, whatever it is, then that's also called Loshon Hara. Says the Chofetz Chaim, another category of Loshon Hara, which he says is very, very common, is for me to describe his middos, for me to describe the person's assets or what's called. And the argument is, for instance, I say, Yana is nicht zieklig. He's not too bright. And nicht zieklig. Yeah, he's not very clever. Yeah? So, if I say somebody is not too clever, I'm expressing an opinion about him. But even if I say something like, where I'm expressing a description of him, yeah, which is actually not his fault. It's part of what he is. The Rabbeinu Shlomo made him like that. Yeah? If I say he's short, he's tall, he's got red hair, he's got black hair, he's got this, that, and the other, I'm describing assets which is posh. First of all, it's the truth. And secondly, you could say it's not really a criticism of him, to say that this is what he is, because this is a metzius, that's a fact. The Rabbi Shem made him like that. So if somebody asks me about a shidduch, and I'll say about a boy, he's very, very short. The fact is he is very, very short. Yeah? Has he done anything wrong to be short? No. Is it a criticism of him that he's very short? No. But it's going to put people off a shidduch. And we know that there are many shidduchim, Shimon will tell you, there are many shidduchim where she is taller than he is, and she looks up to him. Yeah, not physically, unless he's standing on the chair, but she looks up to him. So it could be, and I know of one shidduch where the people said the girl is not pretty.
Who's that?
Yeah, spoke about a shidduch, he said the girl is not pretty, And the Maisa, they got married, and they're very, very happily married. And I'm sure that he thinks she's pretty. Yeah? He went out on the shidduch. He was in Yerushalayim at the time, and he went to some destination in Beitar, and they went out on a shidduch. Yeah? On the way back, they took a taxi, and he dropped her off at the hotel where she was staying, and then he continued with the taxi to to where he was living. Yeah, to his dira. It was a bocher in yeshiva at the time, and the girl was in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So he went out with her in Beitar, come back to Yerushalayim, drop her off at her hotel, and then he continues in the taxi back to his dira. And the driver turns around to him and says, "Why is a good-looking boy like you going out with such an ugly girl?" The taxi driver said that. Yeah? That's what the taxi driver said to him. And they're married, and they're very happily married. And Baruch Hashem, he probably thinks she's pretty. Yeah, she's not the beauty, but she's okay. Yeah, and also, I must tell you, my wife says this very often, that a lot of the girls, they actually blossom once they get married. Yeah, the girls, some of them, they're not so attractive when they're younger. They get married, they're happily married, Baruch Hashem. They get a shaitel, and they look great. Yeah, they look great, they feel great. It's got to do with feeling as well. When a person feels great, then they look great. So therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, so when I describe those people and I say she is ugly, and it could be it's true, he is very short, he is excessively tall, right? All those sort of things that a person will say, first of all, it's true. Secondly, I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm not saying anything bad about him. That's the way the Rabbeinu Shlomo made him. Says the Chofetz Chaim, this is Loshon Hara. Why? Because in the eyes of the person or the ears of the person who's listening to Lashon Hara, you've said something derogatory about them. It's something that can affect a shidduch, it can affect business, it can affect all sorts of things. You've left somebody with a bad impression of the other person. Yeah, whether or not the Rabbeinu Shlomo did it, whether or not it's his fault, ultimately it can cause damage. Says the Chofetz Chaim, azar, opinion. It's not an opinion, it's a fact. But you're describing facts, but the facts are not complimentary, can have an adverse effect, and therefore that's called Loshon Hara.
Started out of Turaway, Northwest London, Sunday, Bob Nissen, 14th of April, Rabbi Matisur, Lawrence Schlitter, Chomet Shenifsel Me'achile, Part 2. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously with the scores of Shavuim V'Achayolim V'Milchamo Shachzul V'Zerim V'Shalem V'Meiro.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to part two, continuing from last week. Just to recap very quickly for anyone who wasn't here or anyone who was here, the points that we said in the shiur last week, the topic being chometz shenifsal me'achila, chometz which has become ruined in a certain way that it can no longer be eaten. And our question was, do all the general restrictions of chometz apply to that eating, having hanor benefit, owning bali roi, bali motzeh, all the isurim that we saw apply to chometz normally? Does that apply to chometz which has been ruined, nifsal me'achila? And the practical relevance of that we're going to see today in many questions to do with cosmetics, medications, and other items, household items that may have chometz inside them, but that chometz has been ruined. The question is, do we have to treat it as though it is chometz or not? So the point where we left off last time was we saw the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chof Aleph Omid Beis tells us about if you have chometz which is charochoi, a person took a fire and he singed the chometz, and the chometz is now no longer edible. So the Gemara says over there, quotes Rava, and Rava says it's mutter bahano. It's mutter to have benefit from it. Rashi explained over there that by singeing it, the taste has gone away from this chometz, and its mare, its appearance, doesn't look like chometz anymore. And Rava says it's mutter bahano. And the Ran explains over there that we're talking about where it's been singed to the extent that it's enoi roi lachilas kelev. A kelev cannot eat it anymore. And the reason why the Ran said that, as we saw, was based on the other Gemara earlier on in Pesachim, which says that if the chometz is ruined, it has to be ruined to the extent of enoi nechel lekelev. It's not edible by a dog. So the Ran says, in order for all the Gemaras to fit together, this Gemara also has to mean, when it says he singed it, it's meaning this, it means the same thing, that the kelev can no longer eat this thing. So we then saw a machloikes between the Ran and the Rosh on this point. Now, what was the wording of Rava? Rava's words were that if you have singed the chometz, koidem zman issa, before the zman issa on Erev Pesach, Rava's words were that it's mutter b'hano. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran says, not only is it mutter b'hano, not only is it mutter to benefit from it, but it's actually mutter to eat it. Why did the Gemara not say it's mutter to eat it? Because nobody would want to eat it. Because you've taken a piece of chometz and you've burned it, and it's black and it's turned into ash almost. Nobody would want to eat it. But really, if you did eat it, if you chose to eat it, according to the Ran, that would be allowed. It's not called chometz. That was the opinion of the Ran. We then saw the Rosh. The Rosh argues with this. The Rosh says, in such a case, if you chose to eat it, we would say it is forbidden. If you wanted to have benefit, yes, that's what Rava says. You could have benefit from it, but you can't eat it, says the Rosh. And although he doesn't use the word achshavei, the later poskim who explain the Rosh say that he's going with a concept that we find elsewhere in Shas, in Masechta Shavuos, which is called achshavei. What does the word achshavei mean from the word choshuv? The person made it choshuv. In other words, if you take something which is not roi la'achilas kelev, it's horrible, it's disgusting, nobody would eat it, but you decide to eat it, according to the Rosh, we have a concept called achshavei, which means it elevates. You have elevated, subjectively, you have elevated. So objectively, nobody would have this, but subjectively, you personally have decided to elevate this thing to something that you decide to eat that is forbidden. It's probably midrabanon, but it's still forbidden. That is the opinion of the Rosh. So there's a machlokes between the Ran and the Rosh on that point. And the halacha, we're going to see in a minute, is paskin according to the Rosh, that if a person takes something which is not edible, but he decides to eat it, he has elevated it, and that would be forbidden. So the question is going to arise, what are the limits of this din of achshavei? Does that always apply? Any time I take something which is eino roi la'achila and I decide to eat it in whatever form, in whatever situation, does that mean I'm treating it like, I have to treat it like an issa, or treat it like chometz in our case? So we have an interesting tshuva of the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen has the following shaila. Now it's known that the Trumas Hadeshen, unlike most Sifrei Shailas and Tshuvas, somebody asked the Rav the question, and the Rav responded. The Shailas and Tshuvas, Trumas Hadeshen, he writes himself, he composed the questions himself because he wanted to deal with a particular inyan. And the question that he writes over here is that it was very common in his time, possibly even today, that ink that's used for writing with a pen, in those days probably with a quill of some kind, was made of various different ingredients. Usually the black colouring or whatever that was derived from some kind of herb or vegetable. But it was cooked together with beer made from barley. Sheicha se'oire. It's made from beer, barley, mixed in together. And it's all cooked up together. And his question was, are you allowed to use this to write with on Pesach? Obviously, on Chol HaMoed, in a situation where it's mutter to write on Chol HaMoed. That was the question. And he quotes what we learned just now, the Ran and the Rosh and Achshavei, quotes all of that. And he says, but here it's going to be mutter. It's going to be allowed. What's the issue? So he says the following thing, that we find there is a Tosfos in Perek Eimar Midim, which is a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zorah. And it's also talking about ink over there, but it's talking about ink which includes inside it, in the ingredients, Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach is wine that's been touched by a goy. In fact, it's not actually talking about Yayin Nesach, it's talking about Stam Yenom, right? What's the difference between Yayin Nesach and Stam Yenom? Yayin Nesach is when the goy has actually used it as a libation for Avodah Zorah. He's actually used that wine. Stam Yenom is wine that the goy hasn't actually used for Avodah Zorah, but Chazal prohibited it because we're worried that they used it for that and other reasons as well. That's called Stam Yenom. And that's the reason why any non-Jewish wine is not permitted, unless it's mavushal, if it's a Jewish wine which was mavushal and touched by a non-Jew, but we're not getting into that all now. We've got wine which is Stam Yenom of a goy. And that was used also sometimes to create the ink for use in pens and that type of thing. And he says over there that although there is an opinion of one of the Bali HaToisvus, the Re Bal HaToisvus, that according to those who hold that it's forbidden to have benefit from Stam Yenom, which itself is a machlokes, but according to those who hold it's forbidden to have benefit from Stam Yenom, the Re says that, I'll read out his word over here, the B'Shem the Re, the Dioi Hamavushal B'Yayin Nesach, Leman de Posak de Stam Yenois Osa Bahano, Loi Shori Lichtoi B'Oisai Dioi. He says it's not permitted, the Re says it's not permitted to use that ink to write with. And even according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that Stam Yenois Mutter Bahano, one should be careful because sometimes a person would take a quill and he would put it in his mouth. And sometimes the ink would go in his mouth. So the Trumas Hadeshen says, even with all of that, we don't have to worry. Because the concept that we saw earlier on of Achshavei, let's go into try and understand this a little bit. You take something which is not Roi La'achila and you decide to eat it. So what's the issue? The issue is that you're giving chashivus to this item. You're treating it in a choshev way. But that requires a person to do that deliberately. Can you make something choshev if you're doing it deliberately? If it's happening accidentally, without being aware of what you're doing, so then that's not called achshavei. So the Trumas Hadeshen says, we do not need to be machmir in this case. If In a case where a person takes something which is not roi la'achila, and he decides to eat it, okay, he's elevated it to something which is now choshev. Aval b'mash noisin had kumus befiv kedei la'achzika. When a person takes the quill and he puts it somehow in his mouth just to maybe position it, put it in a better position, for agav zeh toye min hadoyoy b'loy kavona, loy machshevino. He says when a person accidentally, he's not interested in tasting the ink at that time, so it may well be that he ingests a little bit of that ink. Is he interested in it? No. So that's not called achshevei. In other words, even though there's an achila, even though there's an ingestion, he takes it in, maybe swallows it, but because he's not intending to do it, that's not called achshevei. He's not giving it any chashivus at all. So we learn a very important yesod from the Trumas Hadashin. The achshevei only occurs when you deliberately want to be machshiv that isso or that chometz. If you don't want to do that, you're not interested in being machshiv, giving any importance to that ingredient, then it's not going to be a problem. Okay, that's a very important point. We'll come back to that soon when we see the Psak Halacha. So, one more final point before we move into the Halacha itself. We've based ourselves until now on the idea that you have something which was chometz, which was roi la'achila, and you've done something to it, or something has happened to it, where it's no longer roi la'achila. So what were the two cases that we saw? We saw the case of bread that goes moldy, so that happens naturally, it goes bad naturally. And we saw the case of chometz that you singed, and you made it go bad. So both cases over there, the chometz has gone bad. One happened naturally, and one happened because you did it. And we've seen that the Rishonim equate that, and that's considered to be chometz, which is nifsal miachilas kelev. There's another example the Gemara talks about, which is very interesting. This is a Gemara also in Pesachim, daf memhei omid beis. And the Gemara talks over there about something which is called a kupas so'or. Basically, it's a block of yeast, of leaven of some kind, perfectly edible, according to many of the Mefarshim. But the person is miyachid it le'yeshiva. He designates it as a seat, something to sit on. He wants to make a little stool or some kind of seat. He takes this block, if you imagine like a block of yeast like you buy in the shop, but much bigger, and he designates it to sit on. And it says in the Gemara, v'toch oisoi batit, which means he takes some kind of cement or other kind of stuff and he covers it over. Says the Gemara over there, you do not have to destroy such a thing before Pesach comes in. And this is paskened in Shulchan Aruch as well. And the way it's understood is that the chometz that's inside there is still edible. Still edible. But you've done two things. Some hold even one of these things is enough, but we paskened both the following points are enough. What did you do? You designated it as a chair. That means it's no longer oichel. It's no longer food. V'toch oisoi batit, you covered it in some stuff that makes the chometz there inaccessible. Okay? Is the chometz which is inside edible still? Yes, it's still edible inside. It hasn't been changed, but you've made it inaccessible by covering it. And you've decided that this thing is not going to be a food anymore. It's going to be something else. A chair, a seat. Says the Gemara, it's muta. And this is paskin in halacha. So let's turn to some of the halacha. I'm putting all this together to see how this applies to all the cases we mentioned before. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Orachayim tof mem beis, sif beis, that bread which has gone rotten, hapas atzmo she'ipsho, bread which has gone rotten, and it's nifsal, mila'achol ha'kelev, a dog can't eat it anymore. Or melugma she'nisrucha, melugma is usually some kind of medicine, but contained chometz, she'nisrucha that went bad, ein achayim levaya, you don't need to get rid of it before Pesach. So you see that this has a status of non-chometz. The chometz status has gone away. The Shulchan Aruch says later on, in the same simon, Tof Mem Beis, Sif Tes. Chometz shenis apesh koidim zman isuroi. If you have chometz that has gone bad before the zman isur, v'nifsa me'achidas kelev, and it's become ruined and a dog can't eat it, Or you burned it in a fire before the Zman. And it's singed to the extent that it's not Roy Lekelev anymore. Or you designated it for sitting on as a seat. And covered it in some kind of, smeared it in some kind of pitch or plaster or something like that. Mutter lekayimai bePesach, it's mutter to be mekayimit on Pesach. You don't need to get rid of it at all. Says the Taz, you're allowed to keep it, but what can't you do with it? Based on what we learned before,
eat it.
You can't eat it. Why? Because of achshavi. Says the Taz, it's not deraisa, it's midrabanon, but you can't eat it because of achshavi. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that as well. Mishnah Berurah Sifkoton Mem Gimel says the same thing as well. Okay. But Mishnah Berurah explains to us that only if you decided to eat it. What happens if this chometz, which is completely nifsal miachidas kelev, fell in to your Pesach cooking? Okay, so you're busy cooking nice food for Pesach, all kosher le Pesach, and some chometz, which was nifsal miachidas kelev, fell in. What's the halacha? Halacha is not a problem at all. Why? Because no achshavei. You're not deciding to eat that chometz. You're not elevating it anyway. It fell in by itself. So we're not worried about it. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch always also paskins in Sif Yud, over there. Dioy, ink, shehu mevushal b'sheichas oirim, which has been cooked with barley beer, muta lichtoi boy, you're allowed to write with it on Chol HaMoed, on Pesach. That was the Trumas Hadeshen that we learned before. Now, in the cases, what we learned before, of the bread that went bad and the bread which you singed, in that case, the actual chometz itself has gone bad. What happens if I have chometz, which I don't ruin the chometz itself, but I mix in a whole load of other stuff, so now the whole mixture is just not edible. If I was able somehow to extract the chometz, maybe the chometz would still be edible. But at the present time, when it's all mixed up with the bitter and other things, it's not edible. Says the Mishnah Berurah, when he's explaining the case of the dioy, this is how he understands it. He says, the afotzim ushar devarim hamorim shenis arev boy. All these bad, bitter things that have been mixed into the chometz that's in there, the sheikhar that's in there, bevadai pokmuhu lahasheikha, they definitely ruin the beer, ad she'ena royu lishasiya, after Kelev, so they ruin it. So even though it hasn't actually gone bad itself, but it's been mixed in with bad stuff, and that whole mixture we've got now is just not edible. He doesn't mention over there, clearly, what would be if somehow you could extract the chometz from it. He doesn't actually mention that there at all. Okay, let's move further. We're putting together the pieces, and then we'll hopefully have a good picture of what the halacha actually is. Let's ask another question. When we said before, if you take chometz, which is nifsal me'achila, and you eat it, so we said it's achshavei. We paskin achshavei and it's forbidden. What about if I'm not having it for food, but I'm having it for refuah? The person has it because he's not well, and he's ingesting this chometz, which is nifsal me'achila. Do we call that achshavei? Or is achshavei just eating? When you eat it because you want the hanoah of eating, is that called achshavei? But perhaps when you're having it for refuah. So the Sefer Yad Avraham, which is one of the Noise Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch, in the Eredeya, Kuf Nun Hei, Sif Gimel, says that it's only when your person wants to eat it, l'shem eating it. When the person is eating it for refuah purposes, we don't say achshavei. Why? So there's a very obvious reason. Because the person needs to take medicine. He doesn't really care whether it tastes nice or not. You're prepared to take it. If that's the medicine you need to take, if it's bitter, you'll take it. You'll swallow it. Whatever it is, you'll take it. So you're not interested in the taste or giving it taste or being mashed the thing as an item of achila. You're not interested in that. You're just interested in swallowing it. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says the same thing in Igros Moshe. Aruchayim Chedek Beis, Sadi Beis. Somebody asked him about an operation which he needed to have before Pesach, and he needed to take some medicine, I think, in the recuperation. And Rav Moshe says the following line in the middle of a short tshuva. He says, Achshavei is not applicable to something that you eat for refuah, that you take for refuah. Why? Because people take things which are mu'usim, which are horrible and bitter, for refuah. So they're not interested in elevating it to be an oichel. You're just swallowing it because that's what you need to do. And many other poskim hold like this as well. Rabbi Yashiv writes like this, and others hold the same thing, that for refuah purposes, we're not concerned about achshavei at all. There's also Chazon Ish as well, very similar, slightly different point, but we're not going to go into the nuance of how the Chazon Ish is slightly different, but he also holds basically of this concept that achshavei doesn't apply over here. Okay, so now let's turn to some of the practical examples. I want to make a very important statement, which is written from Rav Shmuel Eliezer Stern, who was dying in Beis Din in Bnei Brak. And Rav Ozner's Bez and other Bottei Din in Bnei Brak. And he writes a long thing about this. He wrote this already a long time ago, but it's reprinted every year. How people, in their zrizus to be Mekai in the mitzvahs of Pesach so carefully, unfortunately, because of that, stop taking medicine when they need to be taking medicine, and they don't ask shilas, or if they don't ask shilas, they don't listen, and they stop taking medicine, which is very important for them to take over Pesach. And he writes at Ba'arichas how wrong this actually is. A person needs to take medicine. There's enough heterium to take the medicine because the chometz that's inside it, if there is any chometz, it was already ruined to the extent that we've talked about, plus the fact that you're not eating it, there's no achshavei, and you're just swallowing it, and shloike derech hanor. And he's very, very strong about this point. And even switching medicines, even to switch to a different brand or something like that, which is apparently the same thing, sometimes the composition is slightly different and that can affect the person. So a person has to be extremely, extremely careful, and they should check with their doctor and their rov exactly. And in any sophic case whatsoever, should not withhold that from themselves the medication that they need to have. But let's talk a little bit about cosmetics and that type of thing, other household items. So based on these ideas that we saw, we can understand the following thing. Many cosmetics in the past did used to contain alcohol, which is chometz derived. Today it's not so clear. They often don't use chometz derived alcohol, but it's very difficult to actually find out. Alcohol is used in perfume, it's used in aftershave, this type of thing. And other creams and cosmetics, makeup, and these type of things do contain things which the origin is in chometz, sometimes. As I said, less and less nowadays. But let's assume it did contain chometz. Let's assume it did contain alcohol. So, various foreign quote from Rav Moshe Feinstein, that he said that the alcohol which they use in some of these things like perfume is denatured. Now, denatured basically means it's made very, very bitter and not drinkable. That's what they do to it. They add in various things, and they do this for various different reasons, tax reasons and other kinds of reasons, which we can't go into now. Sorry? People should not drink it. It's very dangerous to drink. It's very poisonous to drink. Now, Rav Moshe mentions, however, with a certain small amount of tikkun, people could drink it. And he says that there were people in Russia who used to take these type of alcohols, denatured alcohol, and they would make various tikkunim to it, he doesn't say what, and they would drink it. He says that shikorim and people like that would do it. And other poets can bring this, that this was apparently quite common. Now, I investigated this at length. I spent a long time looking into this. And I spoke to various different people about it, chemists and different people. And the consensus that I got from people that I spoke to, I can't say this speaks for everyone, but the people I spoke to say that today it would be very, very difficult to actually do that. In other words, even if something like perfume contained alcohol from a chometz source, it would be extremely difficult to actually separate that alcohol. In other words, currently, it's ein roi l'achilas kelev. Nobody could eat that bichlal. It's mixed in with all kinds of other ingredients and you couldn't eat it. But although Rav Moshe and others say that you could separate the alcohol and drink it, today, the way it's done, it would be very, very difficult to do it. Extremely difficult to actually do it. And therefore, Some poskim write, Rav Rubin writes from Hanof, and others write that today, especially, it's very, very questionable whether one would have to be machmir for such an idea. Again, this is not a psak halacha over here. Everyone should ask their own rov on these things. But based on that reason, and that reason alone, there's a lot of room to be makel on these type of things that contain denatured alcohol nowadays. And the other reason to be makel is what we said before, the kupas so'oir sheyichta the yeshiva. When you take something which is chometz, and pashtus, it's still roi la'achila, but you designate it for use as something else, and you make the chometz inside inaccessible, that seems to be mutter. So therefore, according to that, even if you have cosmetics and that kind of thing, let's say creams and all these kinds of things which contain chometz, besides the idea that it's nifsal me'achidas kelev, even if it wasn't nifsal me'achidas kelev, the fact is it's, the chometz there has been designated for a different use. It's been made inaccessible because you can't take out the chometz itself and isolate that, except with a very, very great difficulty. And therefore, according to those reasons, that would be the basis why we could be matir all these things. In practice, if you look in the Rabbi Adler writes in Hakohol and other places, poskim seem to say that things like creams and that type of thing and ointments, which are completely ein roi lachidas kelev, there's no problem with them at all. Some poskim are still a little bit machmir on the things like perfumes, but he told me personally, even though he doesn't write this, he told me personally there's not really any room to be machmir as such, because the alcohol itself cannot be extracted very easily at all. And even in Hakol, they've changed what they write there as such, and they write that it's really a chumrah as such. If you check, their wording has changed over the years. And therefore, there's no real issue with a lot of these things. If somebody has some mesorah, whatever, that they want to be machmir to sell it with the chometz, that kind of thing, then by all means. But understand, based on what we learned, there are very little problems as such nowadays. And the same thing goes also for a lot of these household
cleaning materials.
The cleaning materials, again, are even more ein roi lachilas kelev. And basically nobody I've seen is machmir on them. And even one place that I saw, he was, but I spoke to various people and they couldn't understand why on sprays and that kind of thing one would have to be machmir. But there are these things which are diffusers, right? These diffusers that people have, which are basically a small container with a liquid inside, and they have these little sticks pointing out, and it's put scent around the room. Some of those may also contain some chometz-derived alcohol. But again, for all the reasons that we've said, one would be allowed to be makel on that. So that's really the consensus of the poskim today, and based on these reasons. There are a couple of other issues as well, which are interesting to go into, but again, because we have enough to rely on, there's enough room to be makel on that. But again, if somebody feels that, I did read about or hear about one particular posek who is very makel on all of these things, but in his own house, he gathers together all these things before Pesach and he sells it, puts it together and sells it with the chometz, just as a post can bring Yisrael Kadoshim heim. When it comes to Pesach, we have chumras, some chumras which don't always have an exact basis in halacha as such, but some people want to go that extra way to be machmir. But that's a separate level. In terms of the basic halacha, it would seem to be for all these reasons that all these things that contain chometz, which is ein roi lachidas kelev, are really completely mutter. Not to eat, though. Okay. Go ahead. Pesach. Right.